It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. 855-450-FREE is our number. That's 855-450-3733. We're going to talk about some good news here tonight. We had a whole bunch of bad news about, you know, more crackdowns and stupid COVID madness and spreading insanity last night. But tonight we got some good news, and I'm excited about it. New Hampshire is the number one most economically free state of the United States, according, again, to the Fraser Institute. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Fraser Institute, I believe, is a Canadian and North and United States based enterprise, if I recall, like a think tank, basically.
They know they do the thing on North America as opposed to doing it in the United States.
So they actually break it down based on the U.S. states, and they have a separate one for Mexican states, and I believe also for Canadian provinces. So, and I don't know if they mix them. I think they do have a mixed list as well.
I suspect the United States does pretty well on that.
Yeah. I mean, New Hampshire does very, very well, obviously, because New Hampshire is the most economically free. Last year, New Hampshire was also number one with a score out of a – I believe the highest potential score is 10. And now, New Hampshire got 8.13 last year, and this year it has increased its score a little bit to 8.16 out of 10.
So – I guess my question is, on the Freedom of the World, I believe the Fraser Institute does one of those.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And,
and they've also released that recently as well.
And on that chart, as I recall, the United States comes in behind Canada.
No, actually. Canada, maybe the U.S. moved up, because according to the Economic Freedom of the World, the most recent one, which was published, so just to be clear, was published just this month. But
right.
The numbers are from 2018.
Right. I mean, there's no way to predict the future or, you know, these sorts of things. These economists have to go through the numbers, and it takes them quite some time to come up with it. So the end of 2020, they released the 2018 numbers, essentially, and called them 2020.
So the United States is actually number six on that list. So it is beaten out economic. Remember, we're just talking about economic freedoms here. This is not the true, like, all-encompassing personal and economic freedom. There is a study that, forget who does that one.
But they're not great. So, you know, they put, like, New Zealand in there ahead. And
New Zealand is number three on the economic freedoms.
Is it? Yeah. There's a variety of
personal freedoms, New Zealand, not so great.
Well, personal freedoms are difficult to quantify. How do you give how do you give a number rating?
Well, you compare all of the places and you figure out how oppressive they are, and then you rank them.
Okay, so if you're doing economic freedoms, you can sort of quantify
it's easier that way.
How much a regulation costs a given industry and these sorts of things, and you can sort of rank based on, like, you know, one, just because there's one regulation in one industry and one regulation in another industry does not mean that those two regulations are somehow equal. All right? So a place where you can get gay married versus a place where you can walk around naked, not the same thing. You know, I mean, it's very difficult to quantify a social freedom. So in the U.S. Marianas, they have casinos, they have legal weed, and prostitution, from what I can tell, is basically ignored.
But they're left out of this index.
They're not in North America, so the Fraser Institute wouldn't be addressing that. But what I'm saying
is...
But they are part
of the United States.
They are part of the United States, but they're
territory.
Not in North America.
Yeah.
So it would be difficult to determine what those things are worth when you're putting together a list of places that are more or less free. Please go ahead.
I did pull up a different list, and this one is freedomhouse.org.
Mm-hmm.
That looks at global freedom scores. It does take into account, I'm not sure what different factors, but yeah, the United States is, I don't know where the hell we are. I don't even know if there's like a ranking here. It's just, there's not even numbers. It's just you can rank by their freedom score, basically.
Well, the freedom score is what their ranking is. I think
looks like it's at 86, and there are roughly two dozen other countries ahead of it. Just glancing at the list,
just on next Estonia and like Bulgaria.
Estonia is up the list significantly from the United States at 94.
Okay,
with the number one most free, according to this chart, Freedom House. Again, we've switched now. Finland, Norway, and Sweden, all with 100 scores.
So I don't know what Freedom House ranks, but I'm...
They're ranking political rights and civil liberties, according to this.
Right. So sometimes civil liberties is a funny thing. What is a political right? The right to health care?
That could be.
I'm not sure, because I don't believe in that right. If you weren't born with the right...
That's because it's a positive right, where that means have the right to somebody else's labor,
right.
Essentially, to force another person to do another thing.
Right, a right to an education, or a right to medical care, or a right to free power, or an Obama phone, or whatever these things are. Those are what we would call positive rights, meaning that you can somehow, somebody can be robbed so that you may be, taken care of. Now, in all likelihood, that person you're expecting to be robbed is rich, and they can afford it, as far as you're concerned. So, but that's not a right. That's just theft.
Okay, so to go back to economic freedom. So just looking at economic freedoms.
Which I like better, because they're more quantifiable.
It's easier to do, for sure. Looking at the list, they do mix them on this list here. So there is a summary of all of the U.S. and Mexican and Canadian states and provinces thrown together. Alberta, Canada, actually fairly high up on this list. They're ranked at within the top 10 of all of those. But then you got New Hampshire at number one. And again, these are numbers from 2018, but just published within the last 2 days. New Hampshire, number one. Florida, number two. Idaho at three. Wyoming, Utah, Oklahoma, Indiana, South Carolina, Montana. And then you hit Alberta. So all of those states more free than Alberta, but Alberta more free economically than the rest of the United States in that particular case.
And I like these economic freedom charts just so much more, because I feel like I can trust them. Whereas these other charts where they're just trying to rank social freedoms and political rights, whatever the hell that is, I don't know what that means. It's just somebody talking.
So, again, New Hampshire coming out on top, just besting Florida.
And getting better. And Florida getting better also, right?
And Idaho also increasing in its freedom as well, the third most free economics state. So
a lot of people fleeing from Seattle and Portland, and they're in Oregon and Washington, trying to get a little more freedom by going to Idaho, I think.
Now, freedom in the 50 states is a different study. That one's done by Cato Institute. Jason Sorens, who's the founder of the Free State Project, is one of the authors of that study.
Yes.
They ranked Florida as the number one most free state. Now, they're also ranking personal freedoms.
Yeah, well, which personal freedoms are they ranking?
There's a ton of different freedoms here.
Okay.
There's fiscal, regulatory, personal, economic, lawsuit, land, marriage, education, occupational, victimless, health insurance. There's more.
So on the Cato list,
gambling.
You can go and you can rank what's important to you. About the Cato list is because, New Hampshire.
You can click on alcohol and you find out that, let's see, who's the most free for alcohol? Looks like... Hey. Surprise, Wisconsin.
That's just cruel. You shouldn't make fun of those drunks. When you can rank it for what is good for you. So for here in New Hampshire, you've had gay marriage for a long time, no helmet laws, no seatbelt laws, and these sorts of things. I'm putting my seatbelt on. I don't want to get gay married, and I don't ride a motorcycle. So any of those things don't particularly matter to me. What I would want is a place where I can be freest, and I love the list for that at the Cato Institute.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have really any breakdown that there's a bunch of pages to this thing. It's 106 pages.
Can we read what Fraser Institute has to say about New Hampshire?
I didn't find any of text that was obviously, about why New Hampshire is great. But there's 106 pages in here, that you can dig around through, and they get into, quite a bit of charts and numbers and things like that. I'm going to link this on our social media. So if you go to twitter.freetalklive.com, or we have a Mastodon account at toot.freetalklive.com, or you can just follow our Telegram channel at telegram.freetalklive.com. I'm going to drop a link straight to the PDF so you can dig in as far as you want to this information. But once again, New Hampshire wins. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And Mark, you think it's going to get even better, and we'll get into that and why you think that.
Yeah.
Coming up here, this is Free Talk Live. You can share your thoughts with us. Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Bring up whatever you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can also call in through our Matrix server if you would like. You'll sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio if you do it that way. But if you're not yet on the Matrix
server.
What's
a Matrix server?
It's a chat server. Okay. So you need to go to chat.lrn.fm. There are different chat rooms into which you can communicate with other Free Talk Live listeners or people who've never heard the show before. I presume most of them have, but it's an open server, so anyone can join it. In fact, it's federated, which means you can actually join from outside of it. So if you're already on, a Matrix server for whatever reason, you're probably, you know, less than 1% of our listeners out there that know what this technology is. But if you're already there,
means there's a lot of people to chat with.
Yeah, well, in theory. They would have to know we exist or search for us. But anyway, on another server, you can connect to some of the rooms on our server. So if you already have an account somewhere else, you could kind of try out the server. Mm-hmm. But if you want to get into all the rooms, then you do need to have an account on our server. And that's just kind of keep out some of the riffraff from the rest of the internet. So there's like there's some rooms that are open to the whole internet, basically.
Some are Free Talk Live rooms. Others are where Free Talk Live's listeners go to hassle the Matrix server.
There's no limit, basically, on what listeners can create as far as rooms. If you want to have your own little chat room, you can do that. If you want to have it be private and only invite your friends, you can do that. Or you can open it up to the public. So it's a very...
But you can use it to call in.
Yes, and it sounds great.
Is that intuitive and easy? Because it was relatively easy on the Discord.
It's... It takes a couple steps.
Will people show you there?
If you go to chat, yeah. If you go to chat.lrn.fm, I've written up a piece. Just take a moment and read through it, and you'll get it. Chat.lrn.fm.
If you want the secret to the internet, to navigating and understanding how everything works on the internet, read the things that it shows you.
Indeed, that usually helps. And don't forget to read bitcoin.com if you want to get into the world of cryptocurrency. Maybe you heard that Bitcoin recently crossed $18,000.
Sure did.
Per Bitcoin. Now, that's not quite the all-time record high yet.
Yeah, but it's held
damn close.
It's a record in so much as it's held at the number, the 17.5.
Has it?
For longer than it has ever held for that at that time before.
Really?
So it hasn't been.
Now, have you seen this reported somewhere?
No, but I know it's true because I've lived through it.
Well, I have to remember there was the time that it was at about that level was probably at least like a week the last time around.
No,
so
I don't know.
It seems
so.
Like it's about on par to me, but
I don't think so.
Yeah, we'll see. Give it a few more days, and then we'll know. Then we'll know for sure. So maybe you heard Bitcoin is nearing its record all time high. Maybe you didn't take it seriously in 2017. You laughed when the crash. Ha ha ha, you Bitcoin fools. And you know what? Maybe we are. I mean, maybe it's just going to all go to zero tomorrow. But it doesn't really seem like that's going to be the case. It seems like cryptocurrency like Bitcoin has gotten more useful over time, and more people appreciate it now than ever in the past, and more people are acquiring it now, and especially now that you've got the federal government and governments around the world printing tons of money that they're handing out to their buddies in business. Because, you know, you got $1,200 maybe if you're here in the U.S. And as Aria pointed out,
but
if
there were trillions that were created. It's a small club and you ain't in it.
Yeah. As Aria pointed out, and we're not investment advisors, but if you had put that $1,200 that you got from the check from the federal government earlier this year from the United States
into cryptocurrency
and you pay taxes, if you'd put that in, I wouldn't just say cryptocurrency, if you'd put it in specifically to Bitcoin,
right? You're right.
BTC. You would have done, I think, roughly 100% gain on that by now if you'd held it and didn't sell it till now.
That'd be nice.
So, yeah. So if you're ready to start taking this seriously, here's what you do. You go to bitcoin.com and spend 3 minutes watching their introductory video just to get the basics. You got to understand there is a learning curve here, okay? But it's not that hard to sit and watch a 2-3 minute long video. So go to bitcoin.com, click getting started or get started, and
get started.
As confusing
as Bitcoin might be, the U.S. dollar is far more confusing, and we spend a lot more time trying to understand that. And if you're listening to my voice, the likelihood that you understand the U.S. dollar is slim. Even if you are listening to a show for like Free Talk Live, you probably still don't know how it's created, like what M0 is, what M1 and M2 and M3. If you can't define those things, you don't know what the dollar is either, but it doesn't stop you from using it.
Yeah. So go to bitcoin.com. All right. So we were talking about New Hampshire, which once again is on the top of the most economically free places in North America. So looking at U.S. states, Canadian provinces, Mexican states, New Hampshire is number one again. And Mark, you think that this is going to go up, that yeah. It went up last time,
right.
So a year ago to now, and you think it's going to continue to go up.
Yeah, and I know you're excited, right? Like, I don't usually say great things about New Hampshire, mostly because you're...
Well, it's nice when you pick a winner.
You're such a cheerleader for the place that I feel
well,
like
I moved here, as you did as well, almost 15 years ago.
And I will say that New Hampshire is one of the best places in the United States to live, presuming you can handle the idea of ice falling from the sky.
Yes.
And that's a strong thing, right? Like, if you just can't handle the weather, if you're gonna feel oppressed by the weather, then New Hampshire isn't free enough mm-hmm. to really make the move make sense. Mm-hmm. It is not, in my opinion, the freest place in America, because I give that title to the U.S. Marianas. I think that Florida holds.
That's just based on your opinion, though.
It is, but it's an opinion of somebody who's lived there.
It would be nice, however, if these different studies would actually look at the U.S. territories.
Yes, and I could make that argument if that's what we want to get sidelined into, because mm-hmm. I could make it really well. I do believe that's the freest place.
Well,
we're
talking
States.
About the statistics.
Right, so we're talking about the statistics. So it calls Florida. In some cases, they're calling Florida the number one. Cato Institute calls Florida number one. Mm-hmm. I believe that's fallacious.
Cato's numbers are also older. They're looking at 2016.
They are. Both Florida and New Hampshire, according to Frazier, became more free mm-hmm. Over
right.
the course of those 2 years than they had been.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't.
But it's good that they're both basically on top of both lists. You know, that does show that, you know, even though these two different organizations have looked at all these numbers, they came
right.
up with similar answers. So that's good.
So I could make an argument for Florida, but I think that my argument would be different than the argument that Cato would make. And I don't like Cato's argument. So, there you go. But if you like the idea that if a municipality changes zoning laws and that negatively affects the property value of your property, they have to compensate you. It's a great law. New Hampshire should come up with it. But it wouldn't be the kind of thing that would make me move to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Florida has this kind of cool homestead exemption thing where basically you can't be sued out of and bankruptcy can't take your money from you.
Florida's also humongous compared to New Hampshire
right.
as far as its population and its size. When I lived in Florida and I spent 26 years of my life there, I never went to Tallahassee. The entire time that I lived in Florida, I never went there. Never went to the state capitol. Never did it. It would have been a 4-hour.
Not until I had moved away from the state.
It would have been a 4-hour. And wasn't that when you were begging the governor for a pardon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that again soon.
So it would have been a 4-hour-long drive from my home in Florida, at least to get to Tallahassee.
Right. Probably 5.
Here in New Hampshire, if I want to go say something to the state legislature, it's an hour up the road.
Right.
Hour and 10 minutes.
And that's a huge advantage for New Hampshire. You have much more effect on your government, which is to say, instead of microscopic, it's minuscule.
No, that's not fair. Because here in New Hampshire, we actually have liberty activists who have won election. They cannot say that in Florida. There are not two dozen libertarians.
There's not two dozen. There may be one.
I've never heard of an actual libertarian getting elected in Florida, but it happens all the time here. When I say actual libertarian, I mean like anarchist level, voluntarist level people.
Regardless of what party they're in.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not in the Libertarian Party. You can't get elected that way. There's more coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin breaks 16,000 as Congress is poised to pump even more unbacked dollars into the market. John McAfee pumps Ghost, his crypto token, from prison. Threats from the SEC? Ignored. New Wyoming congresswoman is a Bitcoin holder. Law enforcement moves long dormant Silk Road Bitcoin billion. Trump and Biden tied over who stinks more for crypto. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news.
It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. We're talking about the good news, and that is that New Hampshire is once again, according to the Fraser Institute, the number one most economically free place in North America, excluding the U.S. territories, which
right.
for whatever reason don't get included. in this. Maybe you argue that it's maybe not in North America. That's why they're excluding Saipan.
Guam, American Samoa, and the U.S. Marianas aren't in North America. But I would think you could argue that that Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands are.
And they're not on these lists? I didn't look.
I don't think
so. Puerto Rico in there? Yeah, I don't see it on the map. So, yeah, they didn't include Puerto Rico.
So it's
not fair. They're not complete. Maybe we
it's
need
hard
to get those numbers.
It's hard to properly quantify those numbers. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if you're talking about the economic freedom of Puerto Rico. It's another thing entirely if you're talking about moving from the U.S., mm-hmm. doing business in the U.S. as a Puerto Rican entity, and you know a variety of things like that. It gets really weird. So yeah.
Well, still, I mean, maybe we should ask Jason Sorens over there at the Cato Institute. Right. Say, hey, why are you leaving these guys out?
So basically, in the U.S. Marianas, you pay essentially the same U.S. tax law, but you pay half. Mm-hmm. They give you a 50% discount.
Well, and you're paying it to the Marianas, not to the IRS, right?
Right. You're paying it to the Marianas, not to the IRS. So your money's not going to drop $1 million bombs on $10 tents.
There's a lot of really interesting things about the Mariana Islands. There's no doubt about that. I'm intrigued by it. I've been watching it from afar. I tried to go earlier this year,
yes,
but
did.
The flight got canceled and I never got a refund.
No. I think you're still bitter about that and you're just not going to get that refund.
No, I'm not bitter about it. I don't expect to see it at this point.
You're not going to get it.
But you know,
the company is in business, but they have kept your money.
If I'm bitter about something, it's that you can't fly without these GD masks that they're trying to shove down people's throats. But I don't want to talk about the masks. We talked about that enough last night.
Yep.
So we're talking about the good news here, and that is New Hampshire, number one, and it was number one last year, and it's increased its score, as did Florida and Idaho, the number two and three on this list. We were going to get into some of the things that make New Hampshire different, because it's kind of like a neck-and-neck race, New Hampshire and Florida, on some of these charts.
There's... And some of the things that I wanted to talk about there is that Florida, for instance, you're quantifiably, you're going to have far less effect on your government from Florida.
Yeah. What is it, 20-something million people?
You may be
there?
Slightly marginally freer in Florida. I think it's 36 million, if I had to make a guess. All right, well,
could
you look.
Could it be?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I make up numbers all the time.
21.4.
Excellent. Thank you. Good guess. So you're not going to have any effect on it, but
no.
you don't have to worry about, say, you're not going to have an effect on your government, but the taxes are lower in Florida. So in New Hampshire, one of the things these lists don't do is they don't tell you how much freedom you get per dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Hampshire, I pay significantly more tax. You pay significantly more tax on a house that was, say, $300,000 house in New Hampshire than you would pay on a $300,000 house in Florida. Mm-hmm. Your income tax will be the same in so much as it's zero.
Yeah.
Your sales tax is higher in Florida, but I never bought a lot of plastic crap from Walmart. And the biggest sales tax items that you're dealing with in Florida is buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of these sort of you're weighing things out. I would agree that New Hampshire's much more likely to get more free. And I think that the reason for that is that recently we had an election, and I know Trump lost, but frankly, it was pretty good for Republicans nationwide, and it was very good for Republicans in New Hampshire. Republicans had lost the House, the Senate, the Executive Council, which is a third legislative body that we have in New Hampshire. So we have more layers of government to make it harder to pass onerous laws.
Oh, yeah.
And the governor at this point are all Republican. Now, look, I don't love Republicans, but when they don't have a military, I like them a lot more. When they're not running around going, pew, 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 you're a bad Muslim, right? Like when they're not doing that, I like them a lot more. And so on a state level, I tend to like the Republicans here. And the last time the Republicans had this kind of hold, they cut the state budget by 11.8%. It was a huge slice. And this is important. This is really important. The state budget didn't return until 2018 to that same level that it had been cut to in, I think, 2011.
So they slowed the growth a little bit.
Yeah, they sliced into the growth of government.
But it came right back.
Well, the Democrats were in charge or whatever. Yeah.
How long were the Dems in charge for? I know they've been in the last couple years at least.
4 years in total.
Four consecutive years?
In total. And then there was some mixed in between. Yeah.
Okay.
And
So it was the last 4 years.
And what
is that right?
The evidence is that the Free Staters and New Hampshire Liberty Alliance reps are further ensconced than they even were in 2010 to 2012.
Yes, that's definitely true. And it's true as far as they're ensconced in different areas of the system, right?
Yep.
So we've had a couple of dozen legislators basically over the years. Now, they've changed out. Some of them have been in and they've been out, and others have been in the whole time. But there's probably roughly, you can generally figure at least a couple dozen pretty principled people who are in the state legislature.
But those people have stayed, and now they're more important than they used to be.
That's what I'm saying. So a lot of them are actually like moving up in the ranks of... Well, there's one of them at least that I can think of that was like the head of a committee, for instance. Mm-hmm. Former sponsor here, longtime Angel sponsor, Jason Osborne from Sickle CAI. He's like, I saw his name on some Republican fundraiser thing that came to my house or whatever. And he was like the vice chairman of whatever Republican group this was. It was like the group of Republican legislators or something like that. So like these guys have been getting themselves into particularly influential positions within the sort of political machinery of the state, and that there's something to that, right? Like there's some value in being there. And that also means that the Free Staters or the Liberty activists have been sort of infiltrating the Republican Party. There have been some that have done the Democratic Party, but you don't hear as much about them. And that's probably because they're trying to stay under the radar. More so would be my guess in that particular case. But the whole invading of the two other parties tactic has worked very, very well.
Yeah,
so
that was
far.
Originally Don Gorman's idea. God bless his soul. You know, this is what the idea he came up with. And I think it makes a lot more sense than trying to build your own thing on the outside. I believe that building the Libertarian Party in this state at this time, look, whatever you guys are doing elsewhere, God bless you. But to some extent, it's a treadmill.
They're losing elsewhere.
It's one of those little squirrel wheels intended to get you to do all this work and really achieve nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. Whatever you want to do. But what I'm saying is that achievements have been done. Now, that caveat given, unless those legislators can get the kind of power they need to change the New Hampshire Constitution in some manner, and I've got a couple of ideas on how to do that, but unless that's done, then you won't be able to hold whatever it is that we managed to create over the course of the next 2 or 4 years or however long we manage to keep this kind of majority that we've got. So, again, I don't want to polish the Republicans' apple here in New Hampshire, but I do like the Republicans in New Hampshire better than I like the Republicans in the rest of the state, and I like it when Republicans don't have a military. So I was a part of the Republican Party here in New Hampshire for some time, so I'm going to go ahead and say—
Are you no longer a delegate?
I don't live here.
Oh, right.
I'm a resident of the U.S. Marianas, so—
Well,
I
but
give
you,
up.
You still sleep here, so—
I have slept here.
That makes you an inhabitant of New Hampshire.
Part of the problem of being a— of the whole thing is that as far as the IRS is concerned, according to their laws, I am in the U.S. Marianas because I left within 14 days of a declared state of emergency.
According to your interpretation of their laws.
Well, I didn't write the stuff that they wrote down.
I gotcha. So if you are considering, and there are more people now than I think ever before that are considering, because I can tell you, we've had more visitors in the last 6 months in New Hampshire.
It's true, there have been a lot.
Than I can remember in a good amount of time. Like maybe a decade ago we had like a lot of people visiting and then it kind of fell off for a little while. And now way more people are interested. We just had a dozen people here over the weekend, all from the Northeast that had come here to check out New Hampshire. And a lot of them were super impressed and really enjoyed their time here. They want to get out of where they are. If you're thinking about getting out of where you are, you really need to look at the number one most economically free place, according to the Fraser Institute. And your calls and thoughts are welcome. Our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Let's talk about zombie companies. What does that mean? Hey, it's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733 here in the studio tonight. You've got Ian.
And Mark.
So, of course, you can bring up anything you want to discuss. There's other interesting news, including the story about zombie companies. Have you ever heard of this term before?
No, it sounds fantastical, made up, and more exciting sounding than it
is. Than it actually is. Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to chomp on your brains, but they are definitely chomping on your money. And what I mean by that is not that you would necessarily buy anything from these companies. You might. I mean, maybe you've heard of Delta or Exxon or Macy's or Carnival Corporation or Boeing.
I've heard of all of those. Yeah.
But my point is they're getting money from you whether you like it or not. Because the government gang has been printing out them Benjamins and sending them on over to big corporations who are really in bad shape financially, and they're not getting better. Like, injections of money, as we should have learned over the storied history of the United States, federal government injections of money, taxpayer dollars, because remember, whenever they print new money out, that takes money away from you, takes value away from your money that you have in savings. That's what inflation is. So when they shove a bunch of money into these corporations that already are failing, that doesn't make them all of a sudden a success. And not that it would be okay if it did. Like, if giving these companies money allowed them to continue on, that wouldn't be okay. It wouldn't be just. It wouldn't justify the stealing of value from everybody. So I'm not trying to justify that. I'm just pointing out that not only are they being given a bunch of money, they're also still failing.
Yeah.
So you're just basically throwing all of this money down a rat hole, tossing it into a fire, and that's making Americans poorer. So that's kind of basically what this story is about from Bloomberg.
I'm not sure it's actually making Americans poorer. One thing you have to consider is that nobody intends to pay this money back. The United States government is borrowing money.
That's making people poorer. If you're taking value from the savings of Americans and you're putting it in the hands of corporate America who then pisses it away or whatever they do with it, then you are making those Americans poorer.
Most people aren't holding their money in savings accounts or even money markets. They're putting their money in stocks, in many cases the stocks of these companies. Mm-hmm. And so their stock is protected with this, you know, economic voodoo that they do in this way. Now, what I would say is that this is hypocritical. Many of these companies love to talk. Even the United States government loves to talk about the value of capitalism. You know, what capitalism does in a given marketplace and this sort of thing and that sort of thing. This is socialism. This is forced redistribution of wealth. And in this case, corporate welfare.
Fascism, socialism. I mean,
I don't even know how to use the term.
It's corporate.
Fascism.
It's probably more like fascism.
Mercantilism,
but okay.
Corporatism.
Corporatism is a good word. Yeah,
you pick a term. There's plenty of them out there, and to describe what's going on here. But it sure ain't capitalism. Okay, if we're going to talk about a free market, then part of a free market is that.
Well, it might be capitalism, but it's not a free market.
Well,
I don't know what capitalism means.
People can argue about what capitalism means.
That's the problem. They will.
But the people that advocate for capitalism tend to sound like they're all talking about the free market until it comes time to stick their hands out for government money. And that's what I find hypocritical about the whole thing, is that this is just big corporations. Look, if Delta, that was one on the list, right? Correct?
Yep.
If Delta failed, and again, this was the
government.
Apparently
they are failing.
Yeah. The government's problem that they created in many cases. COVID is an economic disaster created by governments around the world.
That's true.
Far more than it is some virus that's a Frankenvirus that's going to kill us all. So if in that circumstance, Delta fails. Let's say Delta fails.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the airplanes don't go away.
Nope. Somebody will buy them up.
And they'll buy them up at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Which then gets passed on to the customer. So instead of servicing the debt on a 787 or whatever, pardon me if I don't know all my jumbo jets, instead of servicing the debt that Delta has for a brand new 787, then you're servicing the debt that, say, I shouldn't say Southwest because they only have 757s and 737s. But, you know, the new Freedom Airline, has for a 2-year used 787 that they got at 50 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to transmit to a lower price for you in the marketplace? Yes, it will. Mm-hmm. But since the government props up Delta, who's paying off this big note or whatever, then you continue to pay the note on the big jet when you fly. And Capitalism includes failure. There is no too big to fail in capitalism. That's socialism with American characteristics. You know, what they say about China is communism with Chinese characteristics. This is socialism with American characteristics.
Well, in a free market, and again, I don't like talking about capitalism because I don't know what it means. And I think a lot of people disagree on what the term actually means. And if you can't agree on the terms, then
I'm only using the term because these people use that term.
Okay, I don't know who these people are, but
the people I'll bet you can have a conversation with these the CEOs and the and whatevers of these companies about capitalism and what it means for the world, and they'll have very positive ideas.
Yeah, they might. Anyway, if you want to join the conversation, the toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. What I was going to say is in the free market, there is what's called creative destruction. So businesses have to fail, some of them, you know, because it weren't the right idea at the right time or the right product for the right market or whatever. People didn't want it.
Just doesn't.
And so somebody put their money in and they fail, and their money went to the employees or to whoever it was that their vendors were or wherever the money went to, and it's in somebody else's pocket, and they got to go out of business at this point. And that's okay, because it means that lessons were learned. It means that new opportunity is available for other people. Maybe some of the people that received that money can start their own business. There's new retail space available now or whatever, right? So like creative destruction. It's a neat idea.
Most successful entrepreneurs have a business failure or two or three in
their past. Before they make it.
Right. Yeah. They just, because you do have to learn. And it's not just an individual learning, it's the marketplace learning. Like, we've learned a lot of things since, you know, the Industrial Revolution in 1815. We know a lot of stuff that we didn't know before. And the marketplace continues to learn, and we continue to get better at these sorts of things. So, you know, this, I think there's a lot to be said for this creative destruction, as you say it.
So I wanted to go back and quibble with you about you're kind of just brushing off the effects of inflation, saying that people have investments in stocks and things like that. I don't know what percentage of Americans have investments in stocks. I'm not going to presume that it's a majority of them. I suspect it's not, but I don't know. And who knows if their stocks are doing well or if they're doing poorly. So, I mean, that's just a big question mark.
Most Americans have, some kind of stock holdings in 401ks or something like that.
Okay.
I believe it's a majority.
But to just say that because that might be the case, that the inflation doesn't matter, you weren't saying exactly that, but it almost sounded like you were just sort of brushing it off, like, oh, well, it's no big deal.
I'll go ahead and say it right now. You are a fool of the largest proportions if you keep your money in a savings account expecting the United States government to protect it. Put it in gold. Put it in stocks.
Right.
I mean, like right now,
there's plenty of people who don't even have savings, right? Like, they're living paycheck to paycheck.
But they're not getting stolen from because their value isn't.
That's where you're wrong.
Okay.
Okay? So that's where I wanted to correct you here, and that is that when the government gang inflates its money supply, what you see happening is whether or not somebody has savings. I mean, if they have savings, it's definitely getting robbed from them, no doubt about it.
Yep,
but if they don't have savings, they're still living on the dollar. They're still getting paid in the dollar.
Yep.
And when earlier this year they printed out, you know, they incremented numbers in some computer somewhere to make 2 trillion or 3 trillion or 4 trillion.
Created 9
whatever
trillion.
It was. I don't know. I don't know what it was, but it was trillions.
Yep.
Let's just say it was trillions. And it was supposed to be like 20% in 2020, 20% of the entirety of all of the dollars that have ever existed were created. So like, it's been a huge year for inflation. Now, they're not going to show it in the official numbers, of course. We know that. They've got ways to hide the official numbers. But how many people have had a 20% raise this year?
Well, a lot of people did get a lot of extra money because of the unemployment money.
How many people got a 20% raise? Those who didn't get fired, those who didn't get laid off, how many of them got a 20% raise?
I suspect nobody got what you would call a raise.
I suspect a lot of people got a cut.
Yeah.
I suspect those people who were actually able to keep a job this year were told, we're going to have to take 5% off of your paychecks. I mean, look, it's tough. It's COVID. But you want to keep your job? You're going to have to agree to this 5%. They did it to a bunch of the radio business years ago.
Well, they did it in the radio business. And by the way, Clear Channel is cutting hundreds
and
hundreds
of more.
They're
cutting staff left and right. So how many people got a 20% raise? No one. Almost no one. And so therefore, people are getting paid the same, even though the value of the dollar is plummeting. 855-453. That means your lifestyle is not as good now as it was a year ago. That's one of the damages of inflation. We'll get into the zombie companies coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk.
Having taken her father's throne, Sarah Calhoun has fallen out with one of her best allies, and her brother Nathaniel heads into Imperial Philadelphia with a reckless plan. Her uncle Thomas, armed with new powers and new allies, aims to remove Sarah from her throne and from the world of the living. To survive and to gain the strength she needs to fight an impossible war, Sarah must unite the Mound Builder Kings to enact an ancient rite that will propel her beyond mortality. Servant Daughter by T.J. Butler is the newest entry in the Dragon Award-winning Witchy War series from Bane Books at BaneBooks.com. Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want here. Just dial in toll free and take control of the airwaves as we kick off the second hour of the program. We're talking about, or going to get into talking about, zombie companies. What does that mean? We'll tell you more about it. But we ended up talking about inflation. And Mark, I know you had something else you wanted to say on the subject of the devaluation of the U.S. dollar. Now, of course, we know this happens in other countries with other central banks. They're all playing the same game.
Right.
The question is, you know, how fast are they willing to inflate?
Right. So at some point, and we've been doing this here on Free Talk Live, we've been talking about, the currency not being backed by value. I think that the first year that we did that was 2004.
Okay.
If I had to make a guess.
I think I was involved in the Liberty dollar since as far back as like 2001 or something like that.
I don't think so. I think you got into the Liberty
later?
Dollar
in, maybe you're right, maybe
2004.
You're right.
Either way, I think a guy called in when we were still syndicated on the weekends. So that was 2004. I know that much.
Okay.
He talked to us about sort of, you know, the money isn't, you know, backed by gold. It sounded like a conspiracy theory to me. I'm like, oh, a kook. Look, a kook. And we did a lot more of this sort of ferreting out the kooks back in 2004 than we have to do today here on Free Talk Live. Perhaps it's because we're one of them now. I don't know. But that guy was absolutely right. I don't know his name. But I want to thank him. He's probably dead. I learned something and I looked into it and he was right that there's some really interesting stuff about the U.S. dollar not being backed by, by value. And at this, all we have going on right now, the creation of currency during this COVID crisis, the government creates the crisis, creates the solution, which creates a crisis, which creates a solution. I mean, what they call Hegelian dialectic or something like that, where it's problem, solution, problem, solution, where the government just keeps on going and never missing the opportunity to fix a crisis in many cases that they created. And you know, if you're a listener of Free Talk Live and have been listening for some time, you need to know that this is how it's going to go. Like, I'm not just talking about what's happened in the past. I'm talking about what's happening in the future.
Mm-hmm.
The probable, and in fact, almost certain result of 10 or 15 more years of the U.S. dollar's global, currency hegemony.
Yep.
Is that this will happen again, ladies and gentlemen.
They're already talking about another bailout.
And when it happens again, it's not like I didn't warn you. At some point, this problem is no longer the Federal Reserve and all their shenanigans. It's no longer the politicians and all their lying and thieving. It's no longer somebody else's fault. It's yours.
Sure. Well, they say, and I think generally it's a true statement, the people get the government they deserve. And these people in America, and I'm including Canada in that as well. I've been reading some of the tweets from Mark Emery, the Prince of Pot, and he is just fed up with all the people in Canada as well, just being pathetic. And just like the Americans, so many of them walking around doing exactly what they're told by the government and putting a mask on, closing their businesses down, obediently destroying their own life and their own livelihood in order to supposedly save somebody's life somewhere. And it's just, they're just so obedient. And so they're going to keep getting abused. They're going to keep getting told what to do. They're going to keep being, taking these dollars and acting as though they're are worth something, even though they're going to have their value stolen from them consistently over time. But the good news is you can exempt yourself from it. To the extent that you're willing to take your value out of the dollar and put it into something else, whether it's cryptocurrency or gold or something else, you know, real estate, whatever you think is a good investment that's not the dollar,
right,
then you have a chance to protect some of your wealth.
Right. I couldn't tell you what the stock market's going to do in the next 12 months, but I can tell you that a savings account is a fool's investment in a fiat currency world.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to get across here. Now, when you say that people get the government that they deserve, I don't disagree with that notion. But what I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about you, the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are responsible once you understand what's going on here. And if you've been listening for any period of time, then you understand. And if you don't, call in at 855-450-3733, and I will help you to understand that the government, those in power, the 1%. You pick your terminology.
They're just people.
The oligarchs. These human beings that exist not by creating value but by robbing people of value.
Mm-hmm.
Those people will rob you again. And if you let them, you can go on continuing to operate as a serf in their system. Life isn't bad that way.
Sure.
We've got good beer. We've got some great sports teams. And you can have a fine time.
Yeah, people they're begging right now for their next $1,200 check.
When you decide you want to break out of that paradigm and you want to live a better life than what they call middle class, because middle class is diminishing in its sort of value in comparison to the upper echelon of people, they're living rather well. Now, they pay a lot for that additional benefit that they got, but they do live better. And if you want to break out of that, that's your responsibility. You've got to do that. And
Well, one thing that is going to help you is understanding how they take advantage of you.
That's the first place to go.
The money system works. So let's talk about how they're taking your value and giving it to a bunch of corporations that you may or may not have stock in. Probably most people don't. But according to BloombergQuint.com, they were once America's corporate titans, beloved household names, case studies and success. But now they're increasingly looking like something else. Zombies. And their numbers are swelling. From Boeing Corporation, Carnival Corp, Delta Airlines, ExxonMobil, and Macy's, many of the nation's most iconic companies aren't earning enough to cover their interest expenses, which is, they say, a key criterion, as most market experts define it, for zombie status. I mean, they can't even make their interest payments on their debts, right? That's what that means.
That's not good.
Almost 200 corporations, 200, have joined the ranks of so-called zombie firms since the onset of the pandemic, according to a Bloomberg analysis of financial data from 3,000 of the country's largest publicly traded companies.
If you have an S&P matching fund or one in your 401k, and likely if you've got any of the big names, Vanguard and whatever out there, then you do have some of your money in an S&P matching fund. Absolutely, you own Delta. Yep.
What good's it going to do you? They're going under.
Well, they've got problems, that's for sure, but they're not going to go under if the government keeps on pumping money
into them. That's part of the problem.
And
why would they change anything if they're going to keep getting money pumped in?
And I can see the argument that one would make that the domestic air service is important to the country. Now, I would argue that the marketplace will handle it. Yeah, I know it's scary. I know the failure of a major company is scary. But, sorry, that's how it works. That's how the capitalism, as they like to call it, or the free market works. That's how this creative destruction works.
Well, the argument, and it's a good one from these companies, is, hey, you screwed my business. Hand it over. I get that. That makes sense. I don't say they're wrong for demanding. Hey, you basically told our customers they can't be our customers anymore. If you want us to be around in another year, then you should probably give us some money. So that makes sense. But unfortunately, it's not their money to give. They're stealing value from people in order to do it.
Right. The United States government has no money. Yeah. They've been in debt since the early 1800s.
Everything they have, they've taken. So what they said here was that 200 corporations have joined the ranks of zombie firms this year because of the pandemic, which is actually because of the government's response. But zombie firms now account for nearly 20% of the 3,000 largest publicly traded companies. So that's a lot. And even more stark, they've added almost $1 trillion of debt to their balance sheets in the time span, bringing the total obligations to $1.36 trillion. That's more than double the roughly $500 billion that zombie companies owed at the peak of the financial crisis. So they owe a lot of money. And there's more to say about it. We'll share that with you. You can share your thoughts with us. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I don't suppose anybody actually supports this ongoing, you know, government flushing of your money into these corporations. But if you do, we'd love to hear from you. 855-450-FREE, like freedom.
Free.
Free Talk Live. You dial toll free and bring up what you want with you tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
Also, don't forget you can check out Divi. It's a cryptocurrency. Now, there's a lot of cryptocurrencies out there. There are thousands of them. So this is one that is worth an extra look because, well, first of all, it's programmed by liberty-minded folks. We met them back at the Anarchapulco events that you and I attended for some number of years. And they came on board with Free Talk Live over a year ago. And Divi has done well for Free Talk Live in that time span. Now, it had a real peak earlier this year. It's down since then, which might mean it's a good time to get some.
It may very well mean that.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. But one thing you can count on is that Divi has masternodes that make it super easy to be a masternode. Now, what does that mean? It means that you, if you run this software, will be providing a service, certain services to the Divi network, and you get rewarded for providing those services and making Divi a better
network.
Those
services are quite easy. I mean, we have one of these master
nodes. It's plug and play.
And we do nothing. I mean, we look at what it's doing, but that's other than that. I mean, it's basically a digital ant farm.
Yeah, so you can go and learn more at diviproject.org, diviproject.org. You can acquire Divi in a couple different ways. You can, of course, go through the traditional sign up for an exchange kind of method. Or you can do it what they call over the counter and just get it directly from the Divi team. You can link into their Telegram channel if you've got questions and you want to talk to them. Go to diviproject.org, diviproject.org, as we continue talking about zombie companies.
I do want to talk about zombie companies, but I want to delve into speculation for perhaps a minute. Bitcoin has gone on. I mean, are we going to call this a run?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, it's been on a run all year, basically.
It hasn't hit the...
But especially in the last few months.
It hasn't hit the peak that it hit in 2017 or
2018? Correct, 2017. Late 2017, I think, was when...
Of 20,000. Yeah. But it's well on its way, and if the patterns continue, it could very well be there by the end of the week.
Well, I'll tell you this. Technically, it's already selling at over 20,000 because the vending machines in town here, it's over 20,000.
But are your sales as good as they were 6 months ago? Okay. It may be that people have found better ways to get cryptocurrency and the vending machines have changed. I don't know. Anyway.
The vending machine buyers are fickle. Sometimes they'll buy like crazy. Like in 2017, December of that year, when the price was running up, we had record sales.
Yep.
So it's just also it's some people aren't leaving their homes as much. Who knows what factors?
Who knows? Yeah.
My point is, someone has paid more than $20,000 right now for Bitcoin.
If Bitcoin is in the early stages of a run, then what I would expect to happen, and again, this is speculation. Mm-hmm. This is not financial advice. Nope. This is not me telling you what to do.
We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We have no idea.
This is me prattling on about what goes on inside my brain, mm-hmm. okay? And what I would expect to happen is at some point or another, the alts pick up their skirts and begin to, and by the alts, I mean the cryptocurrencies that are not Bitcoin. Not BTC, but say the top 20 or whatever, and maybe even ones lower than that, but to begin running two. And if that's the case, I would also believe that they will run at a higher percentage mm-hmm. than BTC. And many of them offer a better service than BTC does. You know, we can get into all that sort of speculation, but this is me believing that at some point the alts are going to go on a run.
I think you're right about that, and I think that it's going to have to do with when people figure out that Bitcoin's still broken. I think that's going to be a major factor in why and when that occurs. But We'll find out. Only time will tell. So we're talking about these zombie companies. There are, according to Bloomberg's analysis of financial data, of the 3,000 largest publicly traded companies in the United States, about 20% of them are what they considered zombie companies, meaning that they are
already
dead. They're not even, they're just like, yeah, they're basically living dead. They're not able to cover their interest expenses on whatever debts that they have. So the consequences, they say, for America's economic recovery here are profound. The Federal Reserve's effort to stave off a rash of bankruptcies by purchasing corporate bonds might very well have prevented another depression, but in helping hundreds of ailing companies gain virtually unfettered access to credit markets, policymakers may inadvertently be directing the flow of capital to unproductive firms.
Right.
Depressing employment and growth for years to come.
And this is Smith's invisible hand being smacked with a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, presumably the invisible hand moves money to the most worthy of any given company at any given point.
It'll put the ones out of business that need to go out of business,
and claws away money from those and mm-hmm. puts it in the right place or whatever it's supposed to do. So when the government gets involved, it generally doesn't go well, and At the end of it all, you can kind of look and say, hey, that didn't go good.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep doing it. The government keeps doing it. The people calling themselves your leaders keep doing it.
Right. They say here that it might have prevented another depression by them giving away all these trillions earlier this year. But that didn't do it. If it prevented anything, it just prevented it from happening immediately. It just also likely extended and deepened whatever's coming.
Well, I mean, and we don't know whether they didn't create. So we do know they created the economic situation that would have caused the depression had it caused it. Now, we don't know is what would COVID have done had the government done what a government is supposed to do and just not get involved.
Well, that's what your idea of a government is supposed to do. It seems like every other government seems to think they should get involved, with the exception of, like, Belarus. That seems to be the only government that actually hasn't, government gang that actually hasn't cracked down in any meaningful sense. So again, they're dumping a bunch of money, your money, into these companies that are already failing, and they're going to continue failing. Because if they were already failing to begin with, what makes you think that getting another billion or $20 billion or $300 billion is going to change anything? These people don't know what they're doing. They're in a new marketplace. They don't know how to compete. Whatever the reasons, they're not making it. So this is Torsten Slok, who's the chief economist at Apollo Global Management. He said, quote, "We have come to the point where that we should ask, what are the unintended consequences?" He says the Fed, for stability reasons, decided to step in. They knew they were going to create zombies. Now the question becomes, what about the companies that have been kept alive that otherwise would have gone out of business? Unquote. While zombie firms are more commonly associated with 1990s Japan, post-crisis Europe, or even China in recent years, their ranks in the U.S. have been increasing for over a decade, fueled in part by years of ultra-loose monetary policy. And that's between both the Republicans and Democrats. Remember, they all signed on board with this trillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie companies get their nickname because of their tendency to limp along, unable to earn enough to dig out from under their obligations, but still with sufficient access to credit to roll over their debts. They're a drag on the economy because
Clear Channel was this way for mm-hmm. years.
They're still in debt.
Yeah, well, they have to be. I mean, they couldn't possibly have paid it off.
They went through bankruptcy.
Who paid off their debt in 2020?
They're a drag on the economy because they keep assets tied up in companies that can't afford to invest and build their businesses. Of course, not every company that becomes a zombie is destined to stay one forever. There are some comeback stories like Boston Scientific Corporation to Sprint Corp. Many firms that have seen earnings wiped out due to the coronavirus outbreak are likely to rebound once a vaccine allows the global economy to return to a more normal footing. Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, but when that's the case, wouldn't you like to see a company that managed to keep a lot of its powder dry, keep a lot of assets out, so that they could buy up when this sort of thing? Wouldn't you rather see that company succeed than, one of these
bring them back from the
welfare
dead.
Whores.
855-450-FREE. If you want to weigh in, you can join us. Bring up anything that's on your mind here on Free Talk Live.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and LeVette wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work, so I was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
I've been hearing Dynavite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dynavite, no more flaky skin. It doesn't scratch and itch. And I started to put weight on.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the Dynavite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. We're talking about zombie companies. Apparently, there are more now than there have been in recent years, maybe ever. And it's Ian and Mark in the studio here tonight. Our toll-free number, if you want to join us, is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And unfortunately, the government gang is exacerbating the problem by handing a bunch of your money to the zombie companies. That only makes matters worse, not only for your standard of living because they're inflating the money supply, right, but also because these companies suck at what they're doing. That's why they're in the situation that they're in, and so you're just extending their suckage for a longer period of time until ultimately they end up going bankrupt and possibly getting bought up by, you know, whoever. So we can tell you more about that. We'll also go to your phone calls and your thoughts. And I want to say thanks to Richard Thompson, who is a Free Talk Live Gold amplifier. That means that Richard is contributing $10 per month to the AMP program. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. Free Talk Live is not a zombie. We're in good financial status. We do not have any debt. And our marketing budget is basically you guys. So people like Richard, who are getting behind the show, helping us advertise, market, and promote. That's what AMP stands for, to help us get on more radio stations around the United States and bring new internet listeners on board as well. So if you like what we do and you want to help support our mission here, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com. That's ampamp.freetalklive.com. Get signed up there. Get some of the cool benefits and perks of being an amplifier. Let's go to the phones, and we'll talk more about the zombie companies here in a moment. Dave is on the line in New Hampshire. Dave, you're on with Ian and Mark on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Dave.
I'm in the middle of an ambush interview rampage, thanks in part to your advertising.
Well, thank you.
Which is continually much appreciated.
Yeah.
Today I had a chance to follow up on a story that you reported by ambush interviewing the perpetrator.
Which one? What story?
So you were talking about some kind of a prosecution of a restaurant or other business for minor COVID violations by the Attorney General.
I don't remember which one. Are you talking about here in the Keene area?
It's in New Hampshire. It's not in Keene.
Is this the karaoke lounge that got fined $2,000?
Right. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't know I was going to run into the AG today.
Oh.
And I didn't remember the exact details right off the top of my head, but I was able to ask him, you know, hey, you know, what's up? I understand you're prosecuting this business for, you know, alleged COVID violations,
right,
or whatnot.
They were having karaoke and they got fined $2,000. And supposedly they're the only business in New Hampshire that at least I've heard of that has actually received a fine for violating the COVID restrictions.
Yeah. So he just basically seemed like he didn't really know that much about it. He wouldn't answer the question and fled the scene.
Typical.
Well, I mean, you can't expect to. I wouldn't expect them to comment on an open case anyway, because that's not what they do. They probably should. I mean, if they're supposed to represent the people of New Hampshire, they probably should comment, but they don't actually. That's just a lie.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
But yeah, they have these things called executive council meetings, I think every month.
A lot of lying goes on there. Yep.
Yeah, probably. The governor's supposed to be there. I've only been to one back when Maggie Hassan was governor, and it was fun. You know, she was trying to figure out how to not be on the Ridley Report.
I was going to say, you being there is the only thing that could possibly have made an executive council meeting fun. I suspect those things are boring as they could possibly be. The executive council, for listeners that aren't familiar, it's not a typical thing you see in state governments.
No.
Here,
no, the U.S. government.
as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, I believe the executive council essentially holds the purse strings to some extent, meaning that the governor cannot authorize certain expenditures over, I think it's like $1,500 or something. Something relatively small. I don't remember what the number is offhand, but basically they have to get the five votes on this executive council, the majority of them, in order to authorize certain expenditures. So it's like an additional, supposedly, an additional check on expenditure.
Right. So executive council, as the name might indicate, is in, it's basically got other powers that, some of the powers of the governor mm-hmm. are in the hands of this executive council. Mm-hmm. However, it's, as I understand it, any law that has to do with spending must go through the executive council also.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets, it's in some extent, because there's five people on it, I would call it a third. It's like a tricameral government, but it's not mm-hmm. legislative. Laws don't originate in the executive council.
Right.
I'm sure the executive council people could get a law passed if they wanted.
Anyway, I was there to partly to try and ambush interview the governor. To ask him why he was being, why he was calling himself Your Excellency.
it's His Excellency.
His Excellency. I mean, his executive orders refer to him
yes.
as His Excellency. So
and he signs those, so he knows it, right? Like, it's pretty clear.
He managed to get into that meeting without me even seeing the motorcade, right?
Wow.
Like, they were so... So back
hold on.
Door,
by motorcade, you mean the one SUV. I don't think you can call that a motorcade. He doesn't have any other motors involved in this thing. It's just one SUV that carries this governor around. He has one security agent
yeah.
that walks around with him.
He's the weakest governor in America, but still his rules matter during this COVID time.
So he avoided your detection on this one. By the way, I did pull up the executive council story here from the Wikipedia, and it's $10,000. So I'd said $1,500. It was, I was off by a large factor there.
No, you said $15,000.
No, I said $1,500. So $10,000.
That was the number that came up in my brain.
Okay, well, anyway, it's contracts that have a value greater than $10,000. So I don't think it's expenditures per se. It's just contracts. So okay. Whatever that
state
means.
State contracts.
With bureaucrats or that sort of thing. Dave, anything else you want to share about your experience today?
Well, there was a lot more, but you'll see it on the channel. Unfortunately, it's going to take weeks for me to trickle these videos out.
Wow.
I got so much video over the last few days.
Check him out, Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. And he's always, thanks for the call tonight, he's always doing these ambush interviews, and they're so entertaining. And I wish there were more people that would do this, because...
Nobody's, I mean, you know, the idea... of the United States is that we hold our politicians accountable, that it is a government of mm-hmm. we the people, but it isn't.
Dave actually does
it. And you know it isn't. Dave, on the other hand, has made it his life's work to do that.
Yeah. And it's pretty entertaining when he does, because yeah. these bureaucrats and these politicians, they're just
not
used
to
this.
No, they're not used to it, and they should be.
And they act, in some cases, very unprofessionally.
Their jobs should be uncomfortable
yeah.
if they're doing a bad job.
Right. If only there were a Dave Ridley outside the door, because he always like lurks outside and catches them on the way into their meeting. Hey, aren't you with the city council? You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Or he might even know who he's looking for. Sometimes he just doesn't know who he's looking for. He's just standing outside. He doesn't know who. You don't know who the hell these people
right,
are.
You
right?
drop a line in the water. You don't know what you're going to catch.
Are you with the city council? And they'll say yes or no. And then he'll ask him different questions based on why he's there. If only there was a Dave Ridley outside of every city council chamber, man, their lives would be so much more frustrating.
Yes.
And they would be so much more annoyed with doing what they do, because they're used to just getting away with this stuff. Most people don't go to the city council meetings at all. And I don't blame you. It's boring. I mean, it is bad.
It's designed that way.
Right. Most people don't. Now that they're forcing them online, that does make them a little more accessible to some people, but it also makes them completely inaccessible to certain other people, like people that don't have the internet, for instance, or people that just want to go physically and see these people in real life. So kudos to Dave for doing that. I really appreciate that work. It's good stuff. And again, he's here in New Hampshire doing that, so if you want to be in the best place to ambush government goons, this is a good spot for it. And Dave has definitely paved the way in a lot of ways for that. So, 855-450, free like freedom. We were sharing with you this story by Bloomberg about the zombie corporations, zombie companies, larger numbers this year than previously because of the government crackdowns, because of the lockdowns, the stay-at-home orders. The results of an analysis by Bloomberg paint a grim picture. The zombie company, by the way, is a company that is not even able to pay off its interest payments. Not able to meet its interest payments on its debts. More than a sixth of the Russell 3000 Index, that is the 3000 top corporations, more than a sixth of them, or 527 companies, haven't earned enough to meet their interest payments. That compares with 335 firms at the end of last year. Bro. And there's more to share with you about this. If you want to comment, you can. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here, and you can share your thoughts also on zombie companies, which there are larger numbers of them now than previously, according to Bloomberg. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
So what is a zombie company?
According a company that's deeply in debt, and that isn't nearly as exciting as saying zombie.
And not just that they're deeply in debt, but they're so bad off they can't even make the interest payments.
Yeah.
On the debt that they have, which means if you can't make the interest payments, you're never getting out of debt.
Right.
So you got a problem.
Yeah, nobody cares if you're in debt if you can make your payments. They can't.
So, and the numbers have gone up. Sixth of the Russell 3000 Index, which is looking at the 3,000 biggest companies in the United States, a sixth of them, more than a sixth, or 527 companies, haven't earned enough to meet their interest payments this year. That compares with 335 firms at the end of last year. The $1.36 trillion that they collectively now owe dwarfs the $378 billion of debt that zombie firms reported before the pandemic laid waste to balance sheets.
Okay, let me consume that. So it's $1.36 trillion
owed by 527 companies.
Yeah, that sort of are zombie companies now versus the zombie companies at the end of 2019, which owed
$378 billion.
Yeah, that dwarfs.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's not quite five, you know, it's roughly four times.
It's another trillion dollars.
Yeah.
$1 trillion in debt from the America's biggest companies.
Yep.
TikTok, ladies and gentlemen.
And this is with the government throwing money at them.
Yeah.
Right? Boeing has seen its total obligations balloon by $32 billion. Carnival went up $14.8 billion. Delta up $24.2 billion, and so on and so forth.
The government's only going to throw enough money at these companies that they stay, alive. They're not going to give them enough money to service their debts and things like that. They say, well, wait until the good times come.
So among new entrants, all four major U.S. airlines with a combined $128 billion of debt have become zombies in the year 2020.
Right. And I would say that that's largely the people calling themselves our rulers and their reactions to the COVID virus.
Yep. But regardless of that, it's something you're going to have to deal with now, and likely what you're going to see is, I'm going to guess, more consolidation among the airline industry.
I'm just defending my silver premier status on United, that's all.
Well, whether they're going to be called United by the end of 2021 well, is another question.
I would say that United is the best name, because United isn't called United because somebody created an airline called United.
No, they bought a bunch of failing airlines.
It was failing airlines came together to call themselves right. United.
And that's going to keep going, I suspect, and as these companies fail. Of course, movie theaters, we've talked about their difficulties this year. They've added to the list. Other entertainment companies on the list grew from 2 last year to 10 this year, accounting for nearly $28 billion of additional debt. Ken Monahan, who's the portfolio manager at a company that oversees about $85 billion, says, we distinguish between the walking wounded and the walking dead. The question is whether the business model has changed so significantly as a result of the pandemic that survival comes into question. Few sectors are likely to die, but some may require a radical transformation to survive and attract capital. Now, economists have long warned that zombies are less productive, spend less on physical and intangible capital, and grow less in terms of employment and assets than their peers. And how could they grow? I mean, they're just trying to stay above water.
Right. They exist for the purpose of servicing the debt of the bonds and the banks and whomever out there.
But new research from the Bank for International Settlements shows that zombies may be even more damaging to an economy than previously thought.
Really?
Not only are firms staying in a zombie state for longer than in years past, But of the roughly 60% of firms that do manage to ultimately exit zombie status, many nonetheless experience prolonged weakness in productivity, profitability, and growth,
okay,
leading to long-term underperformance.
So they're probably making themselves too lean in order to pay off the debt, and then when they, you know, get back out of zombie status, they're still, you know, they're still reeling from how little capital they have.
Well, plus these big corporations, they're just not nimble. You know, they're not as innovative as the new entrants into various industries. So, moreover, recovered firms are three times more likely to become zombies again compared to firms that have never been a zombie.
Really?
According to the September study, which examines companies in or examined companies in 14 advanced economies over three decades. The zombie disease seems to cause long-term damage also on those that recover from it, according to the Bank for International Settlements. In their report, they said further that a firm's viability should be an important criterion for its eligibility for government and central bank support. Well, of course, we think that there should be no governmental handouts to any of these companies, because that's part of the problem, is that these people can rely on their political connections to keep things, keep money flowing in.
Yeah, I totally see why governments hand out, you know, money to these corporations and the belief.
The corporations handed the politicians campaign donations. That's number one reason why.
You know, in order to, you know, strengthen the nation or whatever it is, the sort of excuse they make. But I would say that a world where businesses are allowed to fail is superior to a world where they are not, and politicians have no qualifications for determining who is, you know, who shouldn't fail and who should. Like, that's just lobbyists, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
Come on.
That's all it is. So, I mean, there's a little bit more to the story, but that pretty much is the gist of it for you there about these zombie corporations and the absolutely dismal state of the economy. Now, and then, of course, you can drill down and look at the individual stories. For instance, they mentioned movie theaters in there. There's an interesting piece here by the Hollywood Reporter.
Well, before you go on, I want to remind people that it's been a long time, if it ever was true, that this was a nation of the people, by the people, for the people. It's a nation of the corporations, mm-hmm. by the lawyers,
right.
You know, for by the lobbyists for the lawyers.
That's correct. And it's never going to change.
Yeah.
So the best thing we can hope for is for the death of the nation. And what I mean by that is the end of the United States, having states secede from the United States, whether they want to join in their own other little federations, whatever, who cares. But to have more choice for people, to have a place where people can go, where they'll find people that are more like them. If you love the government, get over to California and you know, Washington State and Oregon. You know,
they'll
these
do
are
such
places.
A great job there when they're unfettered by the rules from the United States federal government.
No, it'll be terrible and terrifying. But
if you love the government, you don't believe that.
Right. If you love the government, then give it your best shot and go all in. And if you love like theocracy and forcing your religious viewpoint down other people's throats, then go to a place like Utah or Texas or, you know, one of these reddest of the reds states where you can try to force your viewpoint down people's throats. You love, you know, your bureaucrats with guns or whatever, your right wing politicians. That people should be able to make these decisions and not have to live with people that are diametrically opposed to their belief systems. So,
well, I think that was intended, at least that is how federalism has been pitched to me throughout my mm-hmm. life.
And, but the problem is the federal government gets in the way,
right? And what we saw during the United States Civil War was a, you know, dramatic increase of the federal government. From it went from a federation to a basically a functional state. If you ask people what country they live in, they're going to answer the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. The state, you know, country and state are synonyms. And you live in whatever state you live in the United States, but nobody thinks of it that way.
Mm. And that needs to change.
Yeah. Well, I think that is your fundamental problem, is that somehow centralization was the solution. But I think that might be a human condition. The human that what I've seen throughout my life is increased centralization over time, and that, you know, I got to say, libertarians are really bad, or at least on this show, we're really bad about sort of going with the flow and using their movements, our opponents' movements against them,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, just what we do is just saying, this is bad, it's bad, stop doing that, it's bad. And it is, there's no doubt about it. But is it possible to use the historical momentum of centralization against the concept of an authoritarian government? Is it possible? And if we can answer that question, then perhaps we can come up with a solution that is more than just sort of don't do it, stop doing that. You know,
I think that for the most part, if you're centralizing government, you're going to create more problems. But to use the concept of centralization in our favor, we can do that with the idea of liberty-minded people centralizing themselves in one geographic area, because the fact is there aren't as many as we need for any kind of significant libertarian wave or something to take over the U.S. That's impossible. So what is possible is for liberty-minded people to pick up their lives and migrate to, as we discussed earlier, the number one most economically free place in North America, that is New Hampshire, to come to the same place, centralize our efforts, but still in a decentralized manner in New Hampshire, right? Because people are doing all kinds of different things here.
Every state's decentralized, right? It's just a bunch of people.
The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, we can talk a little bit more about the box office and how things are changing there.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. Kicking off the third hour of the program. It, until now, had been Ian and Mark in
That's
the
true.
Studio, but we have a special guest host for the remainder of our show tonight. He just happened to be in the neighborhood.
It's Derek J.
Here he is again, Derek J. Freeman.
Hey, everybody.
From AnyPay, which we've, of course, love AnyPay. We can talk about AnyPay in a bit, but
sure.
You actually had a gold backstory to tell. You had started to tell me off the air about how you paid for a haircut today with gold backs.
You have to define what gold backs are.
That's what I was about to do, but Mark, do you want to do that?
Well, I'll do my best.
Yeah.
These are, I call them bills. They're a little too slick. They're not like paper. They're more like this, I don't know, this plasticky kind of thing that has gold infused in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's an actual gold bill that contains the, in I think it's 0.1%
No, gold. It's 1 gram, or gram. Sorry, not gram, sorry, 1/1000th of an ounce.
Okay.
Sorry, way off. That's the standard gold back. If you want to hold that up for the cameras, we can make sure you can actually be seen on our video feed. There it is. So that's the single. That's 1/1000th of an ounce. There are also other denominations. There's the 5/1000ths, 10/1000ths.
I'm going to hold my hand up to it so people can see it. It's smaller than my hand.
25/1000ths and 50/1000ths. So there are five different denominations.
So the
of
idea
this.
Is that you can do business in this. You can mm-hmm. You can conduct business. Gold's difficult to conduct business with.
Previously, because, it had been difficult.
What are you
now
do?
It's easy.
Split a piece of eight into eight pieces? That's what they used to do.
Mm-hmm.
But,
what can you really do with an ounce of gold besides buy a car if you have enough of them? I mean,
right.
There's very little that you can do with an ounce, $2,000 worth or roughly of gold. But the gold back, the brilliance of it, and it's only been around for just over a year now. It came out in October of 2019. So they just celebrated their first year of existence, this thing. It's amazing.
Wow, they're so new. They feel like they've been around, for a long time. When you hold them, they have that feeling like, oh, this has been around. This is not a new thing.
It's tangible.
Yeah.
The technology
it's
itself
gold.
Has been around for about the last decade or so, from what I understand. But
it feels like gold. Like, Mark is right to point out that it doesn't feel like paper. When you're handing it over to somebody, they, stop and stare.
Oh,
they look at it.
Well, it's shiny, too, like gold. I mean, it looks like you're looking at a piece of gold.
So I was going for a regular haircut. I mm-hmm. have just to make an appointment. And
At a place that takes crypto, mind you.
Right. He takes Bitcoin, which is why I go to this barber. I go out of my way. It's good for people who
right,
are
you're
listening.
You're 2 hours out of your way. Normally you live on the seacoast.
Yeah, but if
it's a fine haircut, I must
thank
say.
You. Yeah, he's a good job. And, you know, he went to the same school, same class as my barber over in Portsmouth.
Oh, cool.
So it's a small world in New Hampshire.
Yeah. You're not the sort of guy that scrimps when it comes to haircuts either. You want the best haircut you can get.
Yeah. Generally, yeah, but there are two barbers in Keene that both take Bitcoin. And I went to
one's
to
a salon, the other's a barber.
They're both terrific. Yeah. And anyway, so I went and I had some of these in my wallet that I was ready to give for tips. Love to hand them out as tips. So I handed him one, said, hey, have you seen these yet? He's like, held it. No, I haven't seen it. So I said, let me be the first one to give you a gold back.
Mm-hmm.
And these are circulating around town, so it's likely he will encounter another.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he loved it. He took it for a tip. End of haircut. I say, okay, how do you want payment? Cash, Bitcoin, or these gold backs? He said, you have more of that gold stuff? Give me that.
So, interesting.
So you were going to tip him already in gold back.
I already gave him a tip right off the bat. Here's some gold. And then he wanted more for the rest of the payment.
Yeah,
he wanted
his whole thing in gold.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is so cool.
That is cool.
I mean, once you've got it in your hand.
Did you have enough to give him his whole payment in
gold? Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I ended up giving him 7 of these gold backs. Okay? Yeah, so
700 thousandths of an ounce.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Right.
And right now, these things go for, depending on where, you can find them on eBay for $5 or $6.
Yeah.
I retail them at $4 a piece, and you could, if you get some from the manufacturer, probably get it down to around $3.50, but you got to pay shipping. And
as far as, sort of it's just gold value. It's spot value.
$2.
Pure gold? Yeah, just about $2.
I took these to the gold store, and the guy in Portsmouth, he whipped out his calculator right away. Oh, what's this, with gold value? $2. But he said, you could easily accept these for $5 because of the manufacturing.
Right. They're worth more because they make gold useful.
Right.
There is a value in that. And in fact, there was an interesting article that the goldback guy, the guy who created Jeremy Corden, who created goldbacks, he wrote about this because when he shows this to people, most of the response is like, oh my God, that's beautiful. It's amazing. How do I get these? But there was one guy who had this objection of, well, it's only worth $2 in gold, and you want $4 for it? And that person was Peter Schiff.
Oh, no.
So he was the one guy who didn't see the value that is inherent in these things. Almost everybody else that looks at it gets it.
How funny he doesn't get it. He didn't get it with
Bitcoin. Well, he's not selling them.
Well, it should be more than that, because he gets a lot of stuff right.
Sure.
What I would say is that I'm glad the question was asked, right? So gold is rife with people that just want to pay spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to admit,
you can't do it.
I want to pay spot too.
Good luck.
I want to get a nice shiny piece of gold that's been minted with somebody's face on it, or maybe an animal or something like that.
Delivered to you.
It's gorgeous, right? Handed to me with only having to pay for the actual value of gold. Forget the mining. Forget the refinement.
Right.
Forget all the people's chances, and the people who've made it into a nice shiny gold. Forget all that.
The fact that it's hard to get it too.
For the gold. And this is what I can say, one of the advantages the cryptocurrency has is that you exchange cryptocurrency at spot.
Mm-hmm.
So you deal with the cheapskates like me that are in the marketplace that are being, their mind can't quite get over that they're taking a $2 gold piece for $4 or $5.
Well, get this. The gold store in Portsmouth, he says that the least stingy people are his Bitcoin customers. That
interesting.
People who want metals and stuff, they scrimp, whatever. But people who want to pay in Bitcoin, they're willing to throw down.
I believe that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of times people in Bitcoin want to get into metals in order to, firm up some of their gains.
Yeah. Yeah, why not turn it into gold?
So they're spending a lot of money. If they bought a Bitcoin for $500 a few years ago, and they bought 10 of them for $500 a piece, now they're sitting on 18,000 times $180,000 worth of Bitcoin. They say, look, I'm going to take some earnings off the table now, and I'm going to buy $100,000 in gold and then just let the Bitcoin do what it does.
So can I tell you, I love Bitcoin, and I always try and give it to people.
Yeah.
I went to a marketplace a couple weeks ago, and I was trying to tip a woman who sold paintings in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't do it. Couldn't install the wallet. I was like, all right. Yeah. I gave up. She reached into her wallet, said, hey, but someone gave me one of these. She had a gold back.
Where was this?
This was in Portsmouth.
At the market day?
At a market day, yeah.
So the Free Staters. Liberty people.
Liberty people in the seacoast of New Hampshire
That's cool.
area. I didn't know this woman. I've never seen her before. And she, we had this connection.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin failed.
Yep.
Gold back worked.
And that is one of the huge advantages to this is that you can immediately see the value.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like there's no doubt about it. You can hold it. You can transfer it. There's nothing faster than handing one of these one person to another.
There
you
really
know, I just did it. Just going back and forth. I mean, it's that easy.
Yep.
And it has the...
Crypto's gotten better as far as its ease of use over time. But yeah, there
but
is still that, there is still
the
a learning curve. With crypto. So I think that goldbacks and crypto are a 1-2 punch. I mean, I think they are, as far as alternatives to government monies, you got both of those things, man, you can go anywhere.
We were just talking about inflation and the damage it does to the individual, on the lowest level, the consumer, and that the responsibility that the consumer has once they understand how the government is completely irresponsible in the creation of currency with its a partnership with the Federal Reserve and all these, you know, big... These nations, basically, that create their money out of thin air. And this is an easy way. So the gold-backed cryptocurrency, these are easy ways that one can take back some level of control.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You cannot take back control from these people who claim to rule you. But you can get more. More control, that is.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And odds are, and we can't predict the future, but gold backs, you know, gold in general, probably you're not going to see meteoric rises like we're seeing with Bitcoin, BTC over the last few months. I mean, it's going to be impossible for gold likely to match that. But that said, gold has gone up over the last year, just like crypto has gone up over the last year. And what I mean, just like, I mean, it's gone up, as we predicted, once the government gang started printing out wads of trillions of dollars. It's almost a guarantee, because gold over time has done a good job of keeping up with inflation. That's historically one of the things that it's really good for. And now that gold back has made it easy to actually spend it for the first time in our lifetimes and our grandparents' lifetimes. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live. Free. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Derek J.
And Mark.
And we're talking about money. Of course, Derek J's here. It wasn't a plan, by the way. He was just in town. He happened to call up. He's like, hey, I want some more gold backs. I just gave all mine to the barber for my haircut that I just got. And you've been giving them out as tips as well, I guess, when you go out and eat and things like that.
Yeah.
And Derek J lives... Two hours away from here. I just want to make it clear that, you know, we talk about New Hampshire on the show a lot, and I do not give New Hampshire an extra inch that it hasn't earned. But what it has earned...
No, you've been very stingy about New Hampshire recently.
But what it has earned is this, right? Like, you can immediately be part of an alternative currency system that is being built in this state that is unlike anything else in the world, from what I can tell. At least, you know, no place that I have been can one operate in a, you know, an alternative currency in the way that you can in New Hampshire and experience the level of...
There are scant few places on the planet. There are a few, though. So Keene and Portsmouth in New Hampshire, those are the king and queen, you know, cities as far as crypto acceptance in real life is
concerned. We're not going to discuss who's king and who's queen.
He's
I know
obviously
who the queen is.
But there are some other cities, and in fact, AnyPayInc.com, you guys have some other kind of hot spots in the world.
Thailand and
Bangkok,
Caracas.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, those are our next two. Thailand is the biggest. I think it
Bangkok's probably bigger
Keene.
Than Keene, right?
Yeah, Bangkok does have more than Keene, but I think Keene still
per
has
capita?
More activity.
Really? More activity?
I think so, because you know, there was a lot that died in the past year, you know, food trucks and certain restaurants and things. That was the main thing. But you guys have like car repair and detailing
dentist.
And haircuts and dentists.
Yep.
So you have like medical services.
So much you can do.
It's easy to get a restaurant to say, sure, I'll take your internet money. You know, I've heard of this Bitcoin thing, whatever. But
it's
to
not
get
easy.
To, well, okay. Compared to getting medical services and a dentist and your, you know, car repair and all of that, I mean, that's pretty advanced. So Keene is living way in the future.
Yeah. It's fun. And having this migration here, which as we've seen in recent days and weeks, more people have been coming to visit. More people have been really seriously considering migrating here. The more people we can get together that have similar ideas of, hey, let's get away from the dollar. Let's get into cryptocurrencies. Let's get into gold and silver. So Keene also has that sort of double. We've got not only crypto acceptance, but it seems like a lot of these places that take crypto are also very interested in gold.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, Little Zoe's Pizza is a perfect example. Listeners, if you've been to the Porcupine Freedom Festival over the last 4 or 5 years, you know Little Zoe's. They've got the best pizza, and really they're pizza. Amazing. And they've been taking crypto now for, like, I don't know, 3 years or something like that. And the owner loves the gold back. He is so into the gold back. Whenever I tip, I always so I pay with crypto. Whenever yeah. I'm there through AnyPay, but then I always leave a gold back as the tip because I know he wants that more, and the employees like him, and so he told me he was going to give a 10% discount once the New Hampshire gold backs are available.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to receive one and at random. You know, that's yeah. when you will know mm-hmm. we've really won the circulation game because I'm trying to get them yeah. out there and tip people. But when I receive one, that's going to be really special.
I've done both. I've bought things from people in the community with them, and I have received them.
You've received them for things.
As well, yep.
Well, I have too. I think an entrance to the disco. I think there was one customer
I gave you those, yeah, actually.
I think that you guys have been wildly successful compared to the alternative currencies that have existed prior to cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, sort of the acceptance and usage. In many cases, they were regional. There was things called the Berkshires and the – I can't remember what the other –
those were just the hours.
The hours.
The Ithaca hours.
Ithaca
Berkshires
hours.
Are the same thing.
Yeah, they're alternative currencies. Mm-hmm. But getting those – getting organizations to accept them,
yeah.
that's what's tough.
Yeah.
And I can tell you as a radio station that was involved in one of these barter exchanges, they don't always, you know, they may be on the list, but they're not always accepting these exchanges.
Not in the mood,
yeah.
necessarily.
And so, you know, the what you guys have done here, just totally impressive.
So, if you want to experience a little bit of this, come on up to ForkFest 2021. You can mark your calendar now for June 28th through July 4th. That will be the week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Now, I know, Derek J., you had talked about doing something beforehand. Is that still in the works?
No, I think the best situation, really, and from my opinion, ForkFest begins at the same time as ForkFest. It's a two-week festival.
Yeah.
Some people agree with this interpretation, others don't. That's okay if no one's in charge.
No
of
one's
Fork
in charge,
Fest.
So yeah.
Right. So, you know, I mean, ForkFest is a frame of mind to mm-hmm, some extent.
That's true.
And the people who set up ForkFest, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, as long as they leave alone the people who are setting up ForkFest for themselves or participating in ForkFest themselves,
yeah.
then no problem. If you yeah. want to use the services that the Porcupine Freedom Festival brings and has, awesome.
And
do
this
they.
Year they did do the right thing, and they did decentralize the Porcupine Freedom Festival a bit, which actually mm-hmm. allowed for this to kind of happen in a way that it hadn't happened in many years.
It was the best so far.
So yeah.
And it keeps getting better.
But go to ForkFest.party. If you only have 1 week, I'd recommend it be the ForkFest only week where there's
yeah.
no Porcupine Freedom Festival happening, where there's no, you know, the Porcupine Freedom Festival, they charge ticket prices, there's organizers. ForkFest is decentralized, meaning that there's no one who's in charge. Each individual, you are in charge of yourself. So what experience do you want to have? Do you just want to go hang out with other people and, you know, enjoy a good week in the woods with other liberty-minded folks? Or do you want to create something for people to do? Maybe you want to put on a show of some sort, perhaps a musical event. Like
and you make
had.
Some money doing it.
Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know. Whatever you want to do, there was a poker table every single night in one of the party tents, or at least two party tents, and then you guys had an amazing dome.
There was a hackathon. There's like technology yeah. things that people do at ForkFest
yep.
together.
It's so cool, and it's just up to you. So go to ForkFest.party. Again, mark your calendar, June 28th through July 4th, or if you want the whole 2 weeks, mark it for a week prior to June 28th as well. And go to ForkFest.party, decentralized, so that's not an official website, it's just a website. ForkFest.party. Let's go to Robert, he's in Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Derek J., and Mark.
Hi, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, I got a question I want to ask you about the Goldbacks and Koinomi wallet.
Yes,
yeah.
sir.
I bought a bunch of these gold backs earlier this year, and I gave them out, and I sold them, and I made all my money back. And these are fantastic because the people that were buying them from me they use them as Christmas gifts and they give them to their children.
Oh yeah,
beautiful gift.
And yeah. I believe that that these goldbacks are going to help, you know, on the younger generation in the future. You know, whether people want to accept it or not, these goldbacks are going to go up. You know, it's real gold.
They already have. When goldback started a year ago, the price of a goldback was below $3. It was like, I don't know, $2.75 or something like that. And right. Earlier this year, it got as high up as like $3.50.
Wow.
So, I mean, they've already gone up.
Right. Now, a very small percentage of the goldbacks I have, specifically even the ones that are at a higher increment, like the 10 or the 20 increment ones.
25.
The gold would peel off the bill. Why is that?
This is a very rare problem that happens with the goldback, but we have seen it on rare occasion.
Especially the older ones.
I don't know if it's an older problem or what, but more coming up here in a moment. Stand by. This is
Bear. The rescue dog had very flaky skin, dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections. I was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
Probably 6 weeks after we started using Dynavite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch. It was awesome.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been talking about a lot of business here tonight. Specifically, we covered the zombie companies in the last hour. You're certainly welcome to comment on that. New Hampshire being the most free economically of all of North America.
Wow.
That number, well, it's for the second year in a row. But yes, it's good news. And we've gotten actually more free from 1 year to the next.
That's fantastic.
So that's good, too. And now talking about one of the things that makes New Hampshire one of the freest places, and that is the fact that we've got a great community of liberty-minded people. The three of us, well, actually, it's decrimmed here in New Hampshire, so that's actually a really good thing.
Yeah, I haven't heard about anybody getting arrested for it.
No, and I've said that I was going to do this, and I finally put it in last week. I put in a 91A request, which is a Freedom of Information Act request, to get the numbers of arrests for cannabis from the year 2016 and 2015, which was the 2 years prior to decrim.
Wow.
Decrim happened in 2017, and I want to compare that to the number of tickets that were written, because now they can't arrest unless it's over 0.75 ounces.
Mm.
So the number of tickets written in 2018 and 2019, so the 2 years after decrim, and I want to compare. Now,
well,
I'm only asking Keene.
You need to know if there's any arrests for over 0.75 ounces?
I'm asking for that, too.
Okay.
So I'm asking for all the cannabis-related kind of arrests / tickets from those time periods. I just want to see.
Just for Keene.
Okay. I don't want to talk to the state police yet about it. I just want to see what happens. Just look at Keene and see how the enforcement
is.
Fascinating
case study, because you've got a college here.
Right.
There's probably a lot of activity there.
So one of the things that makes this place special is the fact that we have a real community of liberty-minded people who've always been into these alternative currencies. Because before cryptocurrency, before Satoshi Nakamoto came out with Bitcoin in 2009, people were buying and selling things in New Hampshire with silver and gold. Silver more often, though, because it's smaller and, you know, it's easier, or smaller value, so it's easier to use the same size of silver and, you know, buy more stuff with it. So that was something that was going on. There was something called Shire Silver. It wasn't that great, but people were into it. And of course, the silver rounds have been incredibly popular. Mark, you mentioned the 0.1 ounce, or not 0.1 ounce, the silver dimes that the U.S. government put together for many, many years, actually, where it actually had 90% silver in them. So there's been a long history of this going on here with this movement. And the most recent version of this sort of alternative currency excitement has been the goldback. And that's what you were talking about here tonight, Derek J. And that led to Robert's call, who is on the line. And Robert, you had just asked about an issue that has come up on rare, I would call it a rare occasion, because I'm kind of like one of the goldback guys here in New Hampshire. I've done a lot of moving goldback and getting it into people's hands, like other libertarians who want to have these things. So I'm one of the sort of the distributors, I guess you could say. And so people are going to tell me, right? Like I'm going to hear about this if it happens. It happened to one goldback at Forkfest. And there was, I think, one other guy that reported something to me that was similar this year. So it's not unheard of where the somehow, and we're not sure how it happens yet.
It just sort of delaminates.
But
I'll bet it was a storage issue. I'll bet someone was folding and crinkling and doing that. You know, I keep these all in one piece. Like, I don't fold them in half at all.
I wouldn't fold that.
Yeah.
I crease mine. I don't crease it. I put mine in my wallet and it sort of got the wallet bend to it, but I'm not folding it.
Yeah.
So it's a little bendy.
The wallet bend you can undo over time by keeping something flat. So in your case, what you're doing is you're easily transporting something. Yeah. And Derek J has a wallet that appears to be a better design for these. It's nice and flat. But
this is fine.
I would not crease something. I would,
there's a video online where a guy puts gold back in the washing machine and like puts it in the dryer just to see if it holds up. And
how
it did.
Does it? Yeah,
it did.
It didn't melt or anything.
No.
It looks like a regular.
It looks terrible, but, but it's still like there.
You can see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's going to definitely be, I think, as people. They're not going to take care of the goldbacks. Not every individual is going to take care of goldbacks in the same way, right? So some of them are going to get worn down, I think, over time. And likely the price will reflect that as far as...
If you took a gold coin and put it in a rock tumbler, it's not going to look so good when it comes out.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Not going to get as much for a crappy-looking gold coin as you will one that's in pristine shape,
They're
right?
not as fungible,
Immaculate.
Then.
Yeah.
So,
pristine means untouched by man.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
Immaculate shape. So, Robert, the answer as far as the separation of the gold from the gold back or from the acrylic that that coats the gold back is it's been seen before, but it's very, very rare. And I suspect that over time, the manufacturing, whatever this issue is, will probably be worked out. But then again, it's very rare that it happens.
Okay, so my other question is, Derek, can you touch on the Konomi wallet? What's going on with that?
That's so funny that you asked that question because Mark...
I was grilling him on the off the air.
Yeah, before you even called in, Robert, Mark had brought it up, what's going on with Koinomi, because we've been advertising here for AnyPay. And
Robert's a longtime listener and an avid listener.
And he's a crypto guy.
He knows that I've been pushing this issue of Koinomi accepting AnyPay.
Well, let's explain for our listeners briefly what Koinomi is. It's a crypto wallet, and it's one of the older ones. It's been around for a long time.
I used it for a long time.
They've got a huge installed user base.
Yeah. Right? I've installed it for probably hundreds of people.
Yeah.
People who came into my Bitcoin shop, it was one of the ones I would recommend to people all the time.
Right.
So it's great. It can store multiple digital assets in one app, and it works really well. The thing it doesn't work well for yet is for payments. It works for storage of coins really well. It's, you know, it gives you your keys. So, you know, that's an important thing with Bitcoin is retaining ownership of your keys. But the one thing that it lacks that I think they could get right very soon is being useful for payments. And that doing Bitcoin payments is a little different from just having Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
You could just have it on your phone and let it sit there and do nothing. But once you want to use it in a store, buy a cup of coffee or a haircut, you're going to need to send it from one wallet to another. And there's all kinds of communication that goes on between sending from one wallet to another. Many wallets support payments. And Bitcoin realized this a long time ago. In 2013, in fact, one of the major Bitcoin developers, Gavin Andreessen, submitted a proposal, which is known as BIP-70, Bitcoin
proposal. Gavin, by the way, longtime listener of Free Talk Live and supporter of this show.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
yeah, because it is a really useful thing. And people realized when they were starting to send Bitcoin to each other for payments, hey, we need to include a little more data about this transaction, you know, who you're paying, or, you know, is it to a trusted website? Things that make it a more reliable, trustable, faster, non-custodial payment. So there's all kinds of reasons why you would want to specifically engineer your wallet for payments. And Koinomi has not yet done that. They haven't said they won't, But they need to hear from you.
Well, yeah, and we've been asking our listeners who are interested in crypto and who are ideally Coinomi users. Like, I don't want somebody to contact Coinomi if they're not already experienced with
the
software.
But a lot of people use it.
Yeah,
so if you use it and you want to use Bitcoin for payments, if you envision a world where people actually use Bitcoin as their money, then reach out to Coinomi and tell them, you know, hey, I love you guys. You're a great wallet. It would mean a lot to me if you would add support for the payment protocols.
Have you talked to them?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're you're on the radar. They're not just completely ignoring you.
Absolutely. No, they contacted me.
Okay.
So they've been hearing from listeners. You guys must have been talking.
Goodness.
Yeah,
Is this going on with other other wallets out there, or is Coinomi the only one that's on the horizon?
There has been a wave of wallets this year that supported the payment protocols that didn't before.
Mm-hmm, good.
And so this is what's happening now that Bitcoin is more usable and people want to use it for payments, is the wallets are catching up and saying, oh, we didn't realize that people actually cared about using Bitcoin as money. But many people don't, you know,
yeah,
and so you laugh.
They think it's an investment.
Yeah, and that's... Fine, if you just want to sit there, just have it sit there, it can do that. But
the vision that Satoshi Nakamoto, the creator of Bitcoin in 2009, put out in his white paper was electronic cash.
Yeah, and it can be used.
Not a store of value that just sits there. It's supposed to be used.
So there are a lot of great wallets that do support payment protocols.
So here's what you could do is if you want to contact Coinomi or Exodus Wallet or RelayX or Bread, some of these ones that are sort of behind the ball, just go to anypayinc.com/upgrade. You'll get more detail on why you should do this, what it's about, and the contact info for those programmers. So
and
check
I want
it
to
out.
Thank everybody who's done it so far.
We got more coming up here. anypayinc.com/upgrade. It's Free Talk Live. Moments remain here, but enough time for you. If you want to dial in, you can join us. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can also connect on our Matrix chat server over at chat.lrn.fm. That's actually a web page that'll give you the instructions on how to get on that server. In fact, we were talking about goldbacks tonight. There's a room about goldbacks. There's a room there about cryptocurrency. So you can interact with our listeners
on
that server.
Did you make the goldback room?
Of course I did.
Okay.
Fun.
And I made the crypto room, too.
Discord is so great.
Thick goldbacks.
This is not Discord. This
is... what are you talking about?
We got booted off Discord.
They hate us.
What?
Everybody hates Free Talk Live. I don't understand it.
Well, you knew that was going to happen. I mean, we knew it wasn't going to last.
So what do you want to know?
It's called Matrix. It's a decentralized...
Yeah,
you do. Okay.
Yeah.
So for listeners that don't, it's a decentralized chat server. It is self-hosted.
Yeah.
So anybody can put up, you know, if you know how to do a server, you can put one of these things up. And so they're all also what they call federated, which means that they're connected. So one person on one Matrix. So if you already have a Matrix account somewhere, you can connect into our server and connect to some of the rooms. But there are certain rooms that are only for people that have accounts on our server. And so if you want to get on our server, just go to chat.lrn.fm and you can get the full instructions there. And it's a server that allows you to create your own rooms if that's something that you want to do. Or you can just use the ones that already exist.
Chat.matrix.
So chat.lrn.
Chat.lrn.fm. Oh,
yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Chat.lrn.fm.
Exactly. So check that out. Let's go to Gene, the Christian Anarchist. He is one of those users on that Matrix server and also a Free Talk Live amplifier. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some COVID cases at our clinic.
All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
We've avoided talking about COVID all night long, but go ahead.
Back to COVID. But we've treated a lot of COVID cases. A number of our patients have been patients between 90 and 100 years old.
Gosh.
And yeah.
How many of them died?
I think we had one.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is the thing that you hear about how COVID is a geriatric issue, meaning for old people. But what they don't say is the majority of geriatrics that do get COVID survive
it. The supermajority of them, actually.
Well, I have a case here I wanted to expand on, and this one will probably surprise you. So I want to preface this with a notice that there are patients that do not survive COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying that everybody that gets COVID is going to live, but this case, it's quite interesting. A patient who was over 90, COVID positive, wound up in the hospital where it was determined that the patient is dying. So this patient was approved for hospice care, which means comfort care only.
Right.
Was unconscious. even morphine for, because morphine is used for hospice patients for pain management. Now, that's standard.
Does morphine help you breathe?
It does relax the muscle tissue.
Is that good or bad? Because it would seem like that it would be bad for breathing.
Well, no.
I've known quite a few people who've used opiates who stopped breathing. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, if you take too much of it, yeah, your gut's going to relax to the point where you don't breathe. But we don't know. We have no idea what morphine did. But this patient did not die after being determined that it was a dying patient, over 90 years old, and
put in hospice.
Put on comfort care only. After a week or so, the patient improved and was soon rolling around in a wheelchair and conversing with people. And so after a bit of this, the patient was discharged from the hospital.
Wow.
And is doing fine today. So the reason I want to put this out there is that, yes, people can die from COVID. But what we're seeing in our practice is that, and for people out there that don't know, I am not a doctor. You know, my wife is the doctor. We have several practitioners that work for us. But so I can't give medical advice, but I can tell you what I know from being in the clinic and being the administrator there. I know that people don't get sick and die from this thing very often. And we've had some of our employees get sick. Nobody got sick very badly. And if this was like the bubonic plague, everybody in our clinic, all of our employees would have been sick by now.
Sure.
And we've only had four of our patients, I mean, four of our employees out of 21 or two employees. So it's not this bubonic plague type end of the world scenario. I don't even know why we're allowing the government to put restrictions on our liberties, even if it was.
Because people are docile, because they've been abused mentally by the government gang over many, you know, decades. That's why. It's been a long period of indoctrination that has led to people being particularly weak. And, of course, they're also very comfortable, which is another thing that leads people to being weak. And they've easily been taken advantage of. It's sad, but that's what's happened.
And on a separate note, we just had a little dinner with some medical personnel regarding some business tonight, and we didn't wear masks. We were elbow to elbow at the table, and we were shaking hands and even, you know, exchanged a few hugs. It's not like people in the medical industry, at least not around here anyway, are extremely afraid of this COVID, because we see it every day, and it's just like common disease. That's why I call it the common COVID. I don't call it just like the common cold. This is the common COVID.
Mark, didn't you have a statistic about Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, with like 40% or something, or 40 million Americans, I think
it was? 40 million Americans will be celebrating Thanksgiving with more than 10 people, which is treason. Treason. Your God, Biden, forbids it.
Well, it's not just Biden. It's governors.
Kamala Harris, too.
It's not just people on the right. It's governors across the United States.
Well, governors haven't come down necessarily on this. This was handed down. This is handed down from on high so that the Democrats can then sign on. Okay? So, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely.
No, Newsom had it in California, you know, like a month or so.
I understand, but now it's coming on. It's not spreading virally governor to governor. It has gone now to the president, the right and true president who should have been president for all time. It comes down from there and will then be, disseminated.
Have you seen some of the memes out there? Like, you know, the old come and take it with a cannon on it? Now they've got a turkey on there instead.
That's funny.
Yeah, I've seen that. That was good.
And then there's the other one with the cops. You know, like the cops, when they do their drug busts, they lay out all the drugs and the money or the guns or whatever they got on a table. And this one, they've got the cops around the table with cash spread out and then a turkey and a pipe, like a marijuana pipe. Thanks, Gene, for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you.
I can't wait for a turkey sandwich. Those are my favorite thing. It's not the turkey that we get on Thanksgiving. It's the sandwiches that you can make after the turkey meal. So you can slice it off and then mayonnaise and, oh, man,
now, supposedly,
I love that.
You're going to Florida for Thanksgiving, right?
No, I'm going to be eating Thanksgiving in a Portuguese-speaking African nation.
Wow. Really? You can't say where, though, right?
No.
Okay.
That's one way to celebrate.
I imagine Portuguese narrows it down to some extent.
It probably does.
But so they won't be celebrating Thanksgiving there, obviously. But Florida apparently is not ratcheting up restrictions. The governor there had promised that he was not going to be doing that, and apparently so far he's sticking to it.
They've been great. My partner, his grandmother called asking about Christmas, are you coming?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, sure, if you want me to. And she said, yeah.
So where's
that? In Texas.
Oh, so, Texas.
Yeah, so he's coming down to visit, but his
you
sister
going?
In Oregon, yeah, I'm going.
Okay, good.
His sister in Oregon is too afraid.
Yep.
So, young girl.
Is she from Portland? Was she in Oregon?
No, she's from Texas, but lives in Oregon now. And, it's a, you know, so afraid.
But is she in the city? Or is she like out in the woods?
Yeah, she's in Portland.
She's a city.
Yeah, so
she moved there because she's a diehard Democrat.
But the grandmother wants to see her grandchildren.
Sorry. Of course she does. Right. Turns out these people in their 80s want to live.
Yeah.
They don't want to survive.
Right.
They want to live. And that's what, and it's all about survival. It's all about terror. This is a terrorist campaign perpetrated by, well, the Chinese government to start with, but the United States government is certainly signed on writ large. I mean, their signature looks like John Hancock at the bottom of this thing.
So my dad's church, they always do a big Thanksgiving. He's mm-hmm. His wife's a pastor.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
They always have people who don't have homes or families to go to, they put on Thanksgiving
for them.
Is this
in Jersey?
In Jersey. Okay. And they give them a place to go, meet other people, interact with
sure.
other humans,
yep.
have some food, and move on.
That's what Thanksgiving's about.
That is mm-hmm. what Thanksgiving's about. You get strangers together sometimes.
Right.
We don't even know each other. We're part of a community.
It's so great when you can get somebody who's from outside your family to come for the Thanksgiving meal
yeah, you
or
love
the
that.
Christmas meal. It's so awesome.
Got to wrap your dad's story up, though,
okay.
real fast.
Yeah, so they're not doing it this year. I asked him about it. They're doing it over Skype. I said, you need human connection. Death is not the worst of evils.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the second part of live free or die. Death
right.
is not the worst of evils. He said, yeah, you're right. He didn't even really think about it. There are things worse than death.
Yeah.
Isolation.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. My good friend who's 89, might be 90 now, who's in the nursing home. I mean, they've got him basically locked down. He's getting meals in his room. He's so sad.
That's
He's
awful.
Writing me letters.
That is awful. I wish we had more time. We are out of it for tonight. If you want, you can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com. Don't forget to check out more over at AnyPay with Derek J. AnyPayInc.com. And we'll see you tomorrow.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at bainbooks.com.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.